Well, for the last few months, we have been going through the Lord's Prayer phrase by phrase, and we've taken a whole month on some of the phrases. So just as a recap, as we're going to finish it out this month, we started out with the part that said, "Thy kingdom come." And we spent the whole month talking about God's kingdom coming. And of course, Revelation 12 verse 10, for me, is a foundational verse because it tells us, in my view, when the rapture happens. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now. Let's say now.
Now.
One of these days there's going to be a loud voice in heaven that's going to say now. And all the services you've been through, all the trials you've been through, all the struggles you've been through, all the wars you've been through, all of the times when you've been in trouble, all the times when you felt like giving up, you just have to hang on. You just have to hang on until you hear that angel say, now. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. In Hebrews, it tells us that everything has been put under his feet. But it then goes on to say, but we don't see it. Well, when this verse is expressed, then not only will we see it, we will know it, and we will feel it and experience it for ourselves. Isn't that awesome? This is the verse, in my view, that declares when the rapture happens. It says, now has come salvation, amen, and strength. You've been feeling weak, you've been feeling depressed, you've been feeling beat down. There's going to be a day when it says, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. The very first thing in the Lord's Prayer that we're told to pray for, right? Our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come. Why are we told to pray for it? Because it hasn't come yet. We're on enemy territory. When you're on enemy territory, you expect to get shot at, right? You don't wander around just lollygagging down the road. You are looking out. Where's the next shot coming from? Right? When the soldiers are dropped behind enemy territory, they're on the watch. A lot of us Christians, we just go out like nothing's, like we're at home. Then we get surprised when stuff happens to us. Why think it's strange? The fiery trials. So this verse to me is a very special verse. And the reason why is because the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. When Satan gets kicked out, finally, is when we go up. Amen. So we spent a whole month on that three-letter phrase. Then we took for the next month, that was in June, thy will be done. And I said that the greatest thing anyone can say, and mean it, you have to mean it, is nevertheless. Nevertheless, not what I want. See, I would like to be in my bed this morning. I'm sure some of you would too, right? But nevertheless, not my will. See, if you can say that and mean it, you've achieved some power, you know that? Because if you can say that and mean it and Satan believes you, he's going to be scratching his head. What am I going to do to this person? How can I depress them? They're saying nevertheless. So we spent a whole month on that. And of course, Jesus gave us the prime example. He didn't, in his human flesh, want to experience pain and whipping and beating. But he said, nevertheless. You ever said nevertheless? Last week I challenged you to pray just for daily bread. You know what I'm going to challenge you to do? Monday morning when you get up, you say nevertheless. For Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, when you pray and you start asking God for stuff, I want you to end it by saying, nevertheless, Lord. Imagine if you were to do that. Imagine if you were to do that. So we spent the whole month of June on thy will. And then in July, we spent hallowed be thy name. And we went through all of the names of God, all of the references to the names. Anyone can remember some of the compound names in the Old Testament? I'll start off. He's my Jehovah Jireh. Anyone else? Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. Come on, speak up. I can't hear everyone speaking at once. Well, we won't go into everything, but we went through that exhaustively for a month. And so we're going to just finish up the rest of the phrases this month. Now, last week we did give us this day our what? Daily bread. And you heard Sister Robin said she tried it and it worked. You know, but we're praying to have the whole month taken care of. And you know what happened to Israel when they tried to gather more than they were supposed to? It rotted and it stunk. We think that money would be our solution, most of us, right? But maybe it wouldn't. Maybe it would rot us in so many ways and we would stink. Because we were asking for more than we need. And instead of we're asking for what we want. Amen. And so this week, the week before we went on prayer. And we went on all of the themes of prayer and all the types of prayer. Intercessory prayer. Prayer of agreement. And all of that. And then last week we did give us this day our daily bread. Amen. So now we're going to come to some painful ones. Forgiveness. 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 You know, a lot of us say we forgive, but we don't really. We just say it because we know we got to go through the motions of it. But we haven't really. We haven't really. So we're going to take this whole next hour on forgiveness. And I was very guilty of being very much a Pharisee in my early years. Self-righteous. But then God showed me something. Maybe 20-something years ago, God showed me something that I really needed forgiveness. Now, I want everybody to be forgiven. I want you to have as much mercy as God can give you. You know why? Because that's what I want. That's what I want. I want God's mercy. Amen. So this week we're going to study on forgiveness. And the key of that is actually in the Old Testament. And it's one of the five offerings, the trespass offering. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And in the original King James, it was trespass. And in Leviticus 7:37, it's called out the five offerings that Israel were commanded to give. This is the law of the burnt offering, of the meat offering, of the sin offering, and the trespass offering. And of consecrations and of the sacrifice of the peace offerings. I want to tell a funny story, but I'm not sure if I can because it's streaming, but I'll tell it. People think, what kind of church is that? Well, on Friday, Sister Gonzalez was up here preaching. And as she was preaching, she reached down. She was sweating a little, so she reached down to a napkin to wipe her face. And then she said she picked up the napkin. There were some pieces of meat in it. And when I came up to close and I looked on here and I saw there was like some salami and some meat. So I had to apologize to her profusely and said, you know, we're a church. We give meat offerings. that was our meat offering. Now, at first it was a mystery how that happened to be on here, because I asked Sister Brownie, I said, did you see that? She said no, but we found out. I don't want to guilt out the guilty party. There was a valid reason, it turned out, why that was there. Amen. But we see in the scripture that there were five offerings that Israel were commanded to give, and all of them are important, but the one that's going to impact us now in this Bible study is the trespass offering, and I'm going to cover that, but I'm going to give you an overview of the five offerings. So the first one that was mentioned there was the burnt offering. Then there was the sin offering, and they go by different names. They have multiple names, some of them, so it is confusing, but there is only really five of them. the trespass offering, the meal offering, and the peace offering. Now, of the five, three of them were blood sacrifices. That means they were, an animal was killed. Two of them was more of a meal, and the peace offering is also known as the fellowship offering, and the person who brought that actually had a meal with the priest. Some of it was offered, but it was a voluntary offering. Of the five, three of them were voluntary offerings. You were not compelled to do it. You just did it out of worship. But two of them were commanded, and they were to do with sin. Of course, the sin offering and the trespass offering were the two that you had no choice about doing if you had sinned. So we're going to look at this. So in the Old Testament, most of the time, though, when someone sinned, what happened to them? They were put to death. They were stoned to death. So how in the Old Testament, we're going to deal first of all with forgiveness between man and God. Then we'll deal with forgiveness between us. But in the Old Testament, when person committed sin, most of the time, what happened to them, as I said, they were what? They were put to death. They were stoned to death. So how could a person get forgiveness when it seems like all the time, if you sinned, it meant death? There was apparently almost no forgiveness, but there were certain conditions. There were certain conditions. God still made a way for there to be forgiveness if the conditions were met. Now, the first condition where there was no forgiveness was, of course, if it was intentional. If you did it on purpose against God, that means you did it free of choice. You knew what you were doing. You chose to sin deliberately against God. And in those cases, there was no sacrifice. There was no bringing something that you could give that would fix the issue. You were going to be executed. But if there was an unintentional sin against God, and you did it accidentally because of ignorance, you could be forgiven. And that's where the sin offering comes in, because remember now, if it was intentional, don't even bring the sin offering. That's not going to work. But if it was unintentional and you didn't know, you transgressed in error, you could bring a sin offering. And so when you brought the sin offering, it had to be because it was an accident. You didn't realize that you had broken something and you could be forgiven. So there was an Old Testament solution to the forgiveness problem. But the other offering that was really goes hand in hand with the sin offering, and you'll see this in the Old Testament. And every time they brought a sin offering, they also brought a burnt offering. So what is the difference between a burnt offering and a sin offering, since both of them got burnt on the brazen altar? Well, the difference is that the burnt offering was for the removal of guilt. So 99% of the time when you brought a sin offering, you also brought a burnt offering to remove the guilt. And also the burnt offering was for consecration through sanctification, through separation. So in other words, the burnt offering brought you justification, just as if I had not done it. The sin offering was for the sin, but there was also the justification. And you notice that when Adam and Eve sinned, it's implied that an animal was killed because God covered them with coats of skins. You can't get a coat of skin off an animal unless the animal is dead. So there was a sacrifice that was made by God himself, because they couldn't do it, Adam and Eve, to cover them. So the burnt offering was for justification. The sin offering was forgiveness against God. A sin against God. Unintentional sin against God gave you atonement for the sin offering. So the burnt offering was for removal of guilt. The sin offering was for the covering of the sin, the atonement. Now, the third one that's most important for us in this lesson was the trespass offering, because this was a sin against your fellow man. sin against your fellow man. Remember, if you sin deliberately against God, no forgiveness. But most times when we sin against our fellow men, it's deliberate. It's not accidental. If you lie on somebody, hopefully you knew you did that, right? It wasn't an accident. You know you're not telling the truth. Or if you stole some cattle, you did that deliberately. You don't accidentally steal some cattle. Oh, look at this. Right? So the trespass offering was the one offering where even intentional sins, which is what most of us do, could still be forgiven if it was against our fellow man. Not against God now, but if it was against our fellow man, we could get forgiven on the trespass offering. But there were two more conditions. Anyone remember what I taught this before? What were the two conditions? If you wanted to get forgiven for doing something against your fellow man, what did you have to do? You had to first confess. Now, if they caught you, that's different. You didn't confess. They just caught you. But if you wanted forgiveness, you had to first voluntarily confess. You had to fess up. Then you also had to bring restoration. And you had to give back more than you took. Anyone think of a New Testament example of that? A little man climbed up in a tree. Zacchaeus, remember what he said? He said, if I've taken anything from any man, I'm going to restore him. I forgot what it is, but he did double. In the Old Testament, I think you had to restore 20% more than you took. 20% more. He was expressing the trespass offering. Remember what Jesus told him. Sorry, it chokes me up. Because God's mercy is so great. He told him, what did Jesus tell him? Today, what has come to your house? Salvation. And because salvation came to his house, he performed, in other words, the trespass offering. He confessed that he had taken more than he should have. And he said, I'm going to give it all back plus more. So in the Old Testament, forgiveness only came by the trespass offering. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses. Because still, deliberate, intentional sin against the Spirit is still not forgiven. God is consistent. If you deliberately sin against the Holy Spirit, which is God, in His Spirit form, there is no forgiveness. So the Old Testament and the New Testament is consistent in that. But here's where the beauty comes in, and I'm way ahead in my lesson here. What did God do to solve the problem of deliberate sins? God did a fantastic thing in the form of who? Because Jesus was what? Yes, but what was he in form? Come on now, I'm giving you the breadcrumbs. He was a man. Do you get it? Remember, you could get forgiven if you sinned against your fellow man. So God became man so that even intentional sins could be forgiven. Jesus himself said that, right? We'll get to that. I got way ahead. Let's look at this. The definition in the Old Testament was in the Hebrew ashamot, and it means a guilt offering, or it's called a guilt offering, but it's really a trespass offering. And of course, it was ordained by God as one of the five offerings. As I said before, the burnt offering, the peace offering, and the meat offering, or when they say meat, they don't mean meat, they mean grain offering, was voluntary, but the obligatory ones, the ones you absolutely had to do, was the sin offering and the trespass offering. You could not get forgiveness if you hadn't confessed and restored. And the beautiful thing, as I said, about what God did to get us past the point of intentional sins is he became a man. So now the trespass offering applied to him and us. Do you see that? I don't know about you, but that blows my mind. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. In the Hebrew, it's the trespass offering. Jesus became our trespass offering. So that we can still get forgiveness. Even for deliberate sins. As long as they're not against the Holy Spirit. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy, but don't you think that's awesome? I think that's worth a thank you, Jesus. I think that's worth an amen. See, in the Hebrew there, it's a trespass. He became the trespass offering. Yes, he was also the sin offering because he actually fulfilled all five of them. He is also our burnt offering. That's why we don't have to have guilt. He's also our peace offering. But in this lesson, we're focusing on why we can get forgiveness, first of all, between us and God. We're going to come to us and other men because of this thing that God did when he became man. It changed everything. In the Old Testament, maybe most of us would have been stoned to death by now. I know I would. In Numbers 15, that Egyptian got stoned for picking up sticks on the Sabbath. And I know most of us have done worse than that. Isn't God merciful? Isn't he great? Jesus became our trespass offering. And that's why we can get forgiveness of sins. Colossians 2:13 says this. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Trespasses. Because God is envisioning what we do now against Jesus. Not against him. Do you see the beauty of it? He's taking all the sins as if it was against Jesus. Because he was in the form of a man. And when we confess and restore, then we gain forgiveness. Jesus gave this example when the people were crowding around him and this man couldn't get in and his four friends went upon the roof, opened up the roof, and they let him down. And instead of healing him, Jesus has first said, thy sins be forgiven. And all the crowd of the Pharisees got mad. Who is this man thinks he can forgive sins? And he said, just so that you know that the Son of Man has the power to do that, get up off your bed and walk. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Jesus, God had this plan to fix the problem with the law. Because most of us wouldn't have made it. In fact, out of Egypt, only two people made it. Out of the millions that came out of it, think about it. Out of the millions that came out of Egypt, only two people crossed over into the promised land. There's an old time song, everybody talking about heaven. Ain't going there. You know, we don't compare ourselves to the Israelites in the desert, but that's exactly where we are right now. That's exactly symbolically where we are right now. We're in this earthly tabernacle camping in the wilderness of sin. That's what it was called. And we all think we're going to make it over the promised land. But think about it. Only two people made it. Only two people made it. But God decided he'd have a plan. And he made himself a man and became the trespass offering. I know I'm emphasizing this because I want you to get what God did and how awesome he is. Amen. Here's what Jesus said. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven. Isn't that awesome? In the Old Testament, because there was only God in the spirit form, you speak against God, you're not going to be forgiven. But when he became man, he fulfilled the trespass offering. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven. That part God has not changed. But he has made it so easy now for us to be saved. But there is a condition. It's not a complete freebie. There's a part for us to play. Anyone tell me what the condition is? It's in the Lord's Prayer. We have to do the same to others. And this is where a lot of us fall down. We want all of God's mercy, all of His grace. And yet we will not do the same for others. The condition is, as we forgive. If you get that in your heart, you'll be forgiving people left and right. If you grasp what that is really means to you, you'll be forgiving everybody you can think of. Because it's the one condition that also stops you from getting any of God's mercy. Peter came to Jesus in Matthew 18:21. Obviously somebody had upset him. Somebody had crossed his line, maybe twice now, and he was mad, and he wanted Jesus to affirm him being mad. Sometimes we go expecting a certain answer, right? To affirm my righteous indignation. I'm all mad, and I want you to agree with me that I'm right to be mad. Look at what they've done to me. How dare they? Then Peter came to the Lord and said, Lord, how oft my brother sin against me, and I forgive him. And he thought, man, I've really gone out there now. Jesus is going to tell me, man, you should have stopped at 5. It's 7 times this person keeps doing stuff to me. And I, till 7 times? And I bet he was shocked. Shocked. Because Jesus then came up with this strange number. Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. I would have liked to see the look on Peter's face. Because for him to come with that question, he had a motive. Something was going on. The Bible doesn't tell us what it is. But obviously he was mad, and he wanted Jesus to know he was mad and bless it. Sometimes we want God to bless our anger, our righteous indignation. And I'd like to have seen the look on Peter's face when Jesus said, nope, 70 times 7. 490 times at least. And I think that's every day. It resets. Aren't you glad it resets? There have been times in my life I'm thinking I'm at 440 and I still got 2 hours before midnight. I am really glad that God set the bar that high. I am so glad He set the bar that high. But you know, I don't think that that number was just put there as, you know, He just said, let me see, what shall I tell him? No, that was not an accidental number. That 490 is a special number. I call it the time of God's mercy. Call it the time of God's mercy. Let me just fix something here. Got a little problem with my... all right, let's start from here. So Jesus then goes on to tell him a parable. Matthew 18:23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. The story is about the kingdom of heaven. I want you to know this. It's not just a story. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him that owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife. That's what how they did it in the Old Testament. And children. And all that he had, and payment had to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved, let's say moved, with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. And of course, you all know the story. He went right out, grabbed some fellow servant, and wanted to take him down. Let's read on about this story. And the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. This is exactly how we are. You know that? God has forgiven us and granted us life. And we want to get mad at someone who's done a little stuff to us. Remember the condition, how the trespass offering worked. As we forgive others. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me that thou owest." And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after they had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest of me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his lord was wroth, or angry, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. You know, our righteousness is as filthy rags. The most righteous person on earth is about a foot ahead of me, but they're about a mile from Jesus. That's really on a scale how it is. That's, as far as God's concerned, that's about the scale. The most righteous person is maybe about a foot or so in front of me, but where to Jesus is, they're about a mile. But now, here is the verse that I want you to focus on, because this is the summation of the meaning of this parable. It's verse 35, Matthew 18, 35. He says, "So likewise," he's bringing it back now to reality. He says, "This is how my heavenly Father is going to do also unto you." He's going to do the same way as in the parable as the king did. Because we won't forgive. If from your, and you know how he puts it, he didn't say from your lips. He could have said with your words, because a lot of us will do that. We'll say, "Oh, I forgive you." He didn't let us off. He said from your heart. "If ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass." He's telling us plainly how we're going to be judged. How we're going to be judged. And of course, then Jesus goes on at the crucifixion to give an actual example how it's done. You got these Roman soldiers all night torturing him, ripping out his hair, his beard, plaiting a crown of thorns and beating it into his head, mocking him, spitting him, slapping him, beating him. They almost already killed him. That's why he couldn't carry the cross. Of course, he'd been whipped. Now, if we were God, we'd go, psh. A lightning bolt would have come down and taken all of them in an instant. That's what we would have done. Many of us have said, "Man, I could kill him." Right? Man, if I... Many of us have had those moments, right? For a lot less. But what did Jesus say? He gave us the example. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgive. That's the part, the meat of the Lord's Prayer. Right? Give us our daily, and forgive our trespasses as what? We forgive. And it's that trespass offering where God became man that gets us out of so much stuff. But then Jesus gives us a little clue when Peter comes wanting affirmation of his anger and his indignation. And he tells him, "No, not 7 times. Like me, what there's a saying that says, fool me once, Shame on me. No, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. See, that's how the world would look at it. Two times. After that, man, it's gloves is off. Right? Peter thought he went way beyond that. He came, man, seven times. And Jesus then shocked him and said, no, seven times 70 that we are required to forgive. Now, I was going to put this, this could be a very long lesson. If you want to search what the word forgive, you do the etymological search for it. It's really made of two words, right? For and give. But the for is not, is really F-O-R-E. It means before. It's when it, you give before. Forgive. That means sometimes it doesn't depend on the other person. It's for give. It's F-O-R. You know, if something comes before something else. You don't necessarily have to wait for that person to come and ask you. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, that means we didn't ask for repentance. We didn't come and repent and ask God to do anything. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, He loved us. In the Old Testament, there are several examples where God forgave. Probably the most prominent is David. Nathan the prophet came to him and started telling him this story about how this poor man with one sheep, the rich man stole it. And David got all mad and, boy, whoever did that should be put to death. I'd like to see his face when Nathan said, thou art the man. But do you see God's grace? Because under the law, what should have happened to David? Should have been stoned to death. In fact, it's not recorded that he even gave any of those offerings. Because what God wanted, God used him as an example, a prefiguring of grace. And then he wrote that beautiful psalm, right? Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. He went on to say that, listen, if it was animal sacrifice you really wanted, I could have sacrificed. But he knew that wasn't going to get it. In this case, God kind of pre-forgave him because Nathan in the same thing said, listen, God is not going to take your kingdom away. That's before David said anything. God has already said he's not going to take your kingdom away. Yes, you're going to suffer consequences for your sin. So when Jesus told Peter 70 times 7, he didn't just make that up. That number is significant in Scripture. It's the time of God's mercy. In Daniel 9:24, you'll see that number represented. 70 sevens are decreed for your people. Daniel got the most astonishing revelation when he was praying. God laid out for him a summary of everything that was going to happen. He told him there's going to be a period of 490 years before the whole thing that I've been working on is wrapped up. Of course, the 490 years is not continuous. And he broke it down for him. He said, seven times seven, then the streets, and then another set of 62 seven. You know what we're waiting for? The last seven. But altogether, the number is 490 years. 70 sets of sevens are decreed for your people. And then in the verse, he lays out six things that has got to occur in those 490 years. Number one, to finish the transgression. To make an end of sin. To make atonement for iniquity. To bring in everlasting righteousness. To seal up the vision and prophecy. And to anoint the most holy place. Now, some of those things have already happened. Jesus has already made atonement for iniquity. I'm not going to teach on that because that's a whole Bible study. But the point I'm making, when Jesus told him that number, it was not a thought. He was referring back into the Old Testament. He was giving us a clue to the meaning of that number. It's the time of God's mercy. The whole structure of the numbers that God gave the Jews is based upon the number seven. It's based upon the number seven. And in the Greek, it's called the heptadic. That's the Greek word for seven. And of course, it starts out with creation, right? The 7 days of creation. And then they have the weekly Sabbath. And then what's the next bigger number? Anyone think what's the next multiple of seven there is that we celebrate? Yes, but what do we call that? Pentecost, right? So then you have the 7 of weeks, or Shavuot, Pentecost. You shall number 7 sets of 7, and then on the 50th day, you shall bring the harvest, the wheat harvest, with the 2 loaves baked with leaven. We celebrate that on Pentecost. Pentecost comes from that. Then what's the next number, multiple of seven, that we find in Scripture? We've done days, we've done weeks, months. All of the Jewish festivals, all of the 7 feasts fall in a 7-month period from Nisan to Tishri, 7 months. And it's the religious year. Next month, we're coming to the end of the religious year, the beginning of the secular Jewish year. There were 7 months from Passover to Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, so after months, what's next? Years. I want you to see that there's a pattern here. And then there were 7 years, and then they were to have the sabbatical year. Every 7th year, they were to not plow the land. They were to let it lie fallow. And it was this thing that they stopped doing, which caused them to end up in Babylon. And do you know how long they stopped doing it for? Every 7 years they were supposed to not plant the land, but they got greedy. And they did not let the land have its Sabbath. And God allowed it for guess how long? 490 years, the time of God's mercy. You get it? 70 times 7. So they had skipped 70 Sabbaths of the land. So God said, I'm going to kick you out the land. And the land is going to have her 70 Sabbaths. And that's why they were in Babylon for how long? No. Remember, they had skipped 7, they had not allowed 70 Sabbaths. So they were in Babylon for 70 years. God forced the land to lie fallow for 70 years just because they had disobeyed him. And he waited 490 years. He gave them 490 years to repent. But I skipped one, because after the years of the sabbatical year, there is another set of years, and that's the Jubilee. 49 years, 7 sets of sabbatical years, then the Jubilee. And then finally, 7 sets of Jubilee years, becomes the 490-year cycle. But let me just show you how this applies in Israel. Now, this is about God's forgiveness as well. When God called Abraham, he was 75 years old when the promise was given. Genesis 12:1. And the way it's phrased, you can tell that Abraham didn't obey right away. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So the Bible gives us lots of clues to all these years. If we go to the New Testament, it tells us something. Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith, not unto seeds as of many, but as one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now in the New Testament, it tells us this. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed for God in Christ, the law, was 430 years after. So what it's telling us, that the law that was given on Mount Sinai was 430 years after the covenant with Abraham. All right? So now you say, well, where's that 490-year cycle? Well, let's look what happened. So the call of Abraham in Exodus, Genesis 14, 4, 16, 3, and 21, 5. Remember, he was 75 at the time. And then from Egypt, when you add it up, that was 505 years. So he was 75 years old when the promise was given. The law was given 430 years after. But 430 years and 75 years makes 505 years. And there's 15 years there extra than the 490 years. So why is it not exactly 490 years? Anyone have an idea why? God had given him a promise of an heir, right? A son. And what did Sarah and Abraham do? Got ahead of God and did not wait. He delayed it. So he went and had a son with Hagar, and that's where the 15 years went. It was 15 years after Ishmael was born that Isaac was born. When you subtract the 15 years where he was not the son of the promise, you have the 490-year cycle. And there's many other 490-year cycles to do with Israel. You saw the one when they came into the land, and for 490 years they did not keep the sabbatical time. And so God, after 490 years, his mercy ended. I've just given you a few here. So there was 490 years Israel was disobeyed. They were 70 years in exile. And after Daniel, in Daniel, God tells them there's a new 490-year cycle coming. And we are now at the 462, the last 7 years of that cycle of God's mercy is coming. Jesus said something interesting. I'm still talking about forgiveness. Jesus said something interesting near the end of his ministry. And I don't have the time to go into it, but as I said, after 490 years of God's patience, usually stuff happens. John 12:31, Jesus made this proclamation, and many people read it and don't really understand what he was saying. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast. And I'm putting it in three different translations here. Now is the time for this world to be judged. Now the ruler of this world will be overthrown. Remember, from the time Adam sinned, he gave dominion to who? Satan. When Satan came to tempt Jesus, he said, bow down and I will give you what? Why? For it has been delivered to me. Jesus now is about to be crucified, and he says these two important things. He says, one, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, or in other words, overthrown. In other words, the second part means he's taking back dominion. But the first part is very interesting. He says judgment was about to fall 2,000 years ago on this planet. People miss it. People don't understand what Jesus was saying. It's all about forgiveness. He said this, John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's John 3:14. Now I'm going to go to John 12:31. And I'm emphasizing what he was trying to let people understand. If he did nothing, if he did not go to the cross, judgment, just like the flood, or something like it, was going to fall on this world. He was about to take back control. But John 12:31 does not end there. It says this. In the Greek, you can put but. He says, and if I be lifted up, though, will draw all. Now, in the original Greek, it doesn't have men, but because the translators assume that's what he meant, but that's not what he meant. what he was really speaking about was the judgment. You understand the context. He's saying, now is judgment about to fall on this world. But if I be lifted up, I'm going to take all the judgment. I'm going to be the trespass offering. I am going to extend God's mercy. That's what he was saying. That's what forgiveness is all about. Because he became our trespass offering. In the original Greek, there is no, and I will draw all men to you. In most Bibles, they'll put a italic showing that it's not in the original. That's the translator's assumption. But if you put the breadcrumbs together, what he was saying, first of all, he said, Moses was lifted up, became the object of their sin. They had to look at the snake. They had to look at the sin. And you know how they were delivered? Through the breaking of the law. Because the law told Moses, you could not make any graven image. God says to Moses, make a graven image. Lord, come again. What was that? But that's in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt make no graven image. I know, Moses, but if I don't do this, all your people's going to die. Unless I go to the cross. Judgment is going to fall. But if I be lifted up, I will draw all. If you could stand with me. That was God's mercy and his forgiveness. See, we read these things and we don't know the full impact of what Jesus was saying. But you know, that judgment has only been delayed. Jesus said a lot of things, and every single one of them is not there to fill space. It's there for us to study. He said, the only sign that's going to be given to you is as a sign of Jonah. Right? And Jonah went and preached for 3 days. It was 3 days in the whale, and then he preached for 3 days to Nineveh. He had told the Ninevites the same thing. Judgment is going to fall. In 40 days, judgment is going to fall. But the Ninevites, from the king down, repented. But the judgment was only delayed. Jesus said, the only sign that's going to be given is the sign of Jonah. And I think in every way, Jesus meant it. The judgment that was going to fall when he said, now is the judgment of this world, has only been delayed. We have a period of 7 years left in that 490 cycle to be fulfilled. But what can we do today? We can lift him up. We can lift him up. If I be lifted up from the earth, then I will draw all. And that's what we are here today to do, because his mercy and his grace, his forgiveness that he has given us is so astonishing. That because of the trespass offering, even intentional sins with confession and restoration can be forgiven. Isn't God great? Isn't his love surpassing? Isn't it awesome? That's why when we read John 3:16, sometimes we read it so much it doesn't mean anything to us. But God had this plan from the foundation of the earth, that he was going to come as a man. And just as how he had to break the law, Moses had to break the law and make a graven image to save those who would look. And I bet there were some people saying, I'm not looking at that thing. That's all they had to do. That's all we have to do. Looking unto Jesus, who is what? The author and finisher of our faith. That's all we have to do. I bet there were some people who said, I'm not looking at that. That's all they had to do. God had to break the law in the Old Testament to save Israel. And when he said it's finished, the law was broken. the veil in the temple ripped in two, and our sins were forgiven. Hallelujah. Amen. If you could bow your hearts to me. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, and your forgiveness and your love. Lord, that through your plan of salvation, Lord God, you have moved us from darkness into light. Help us, oh God, not to take your name in vain. Lord, to treat your death seriously. Lord God, to come before you with our whole heart, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, we just ask right now that you pour out upon us that spirit of mourning. Lord God, that we will understand what you sacrificed. Lord, we ask right now, Lord Jesus, let our hearts be inclined to listen to your word. Oh, God, we thank you that you have told us that we can obtain forgiveness and salvation. Hallelujah, through your sacrifice on Calvary. Lord, we ask you right now, Jesus, to just flood our hearts, Lord God. Lord God, with love for you, Lord God, that we will seek you with our whole heart. Lord, we thank you right now for all that you have done. Lord, we ask and pray a special blessing on our second service, Lord. Give utterance, Lord God, to the speaker, Lord God. Let our worship be accepted, Lord God. Let it rise into your throne room. Lord, we lift up your name, Lord God. We lift you up right now, and we give you all of the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Let's do that right now. Let's clap our hands.